letting us come. I'm just enjoying being here. I love preaching, and I love being around good people, and this is just a great place to be. Now, open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, and in just a few moments, we'll stand and read that together. But before we do, Isaiah chapter 6, when you found that, I want to tell you a story, a joke. I very seldom ever do that because my wife begs me not to. My wife says I cannot tell jokes. She says I usually mess it up, you know. So I practiced and practiced on this one, and I hope I don't mess it up, you know. But she tells me, don't do it. Just don't do it. And I do it anyway. But I found out the secret, though. Here's the key. My jokes are intellectual. And so, therefore, you know, it's according to the intellect of the congregation, whether they laugh or not. I mean, the smarter the congregation, the more they laugh. I figured that out myself on that. But this pastor and two of his deacons were going hunting. They were going deer hunting, all right? The pastor and two deacons, and they got out. They had their deer stands, and they had a clearing that they'd go to, and one had a stand here and one over here. They parked their car, and they were walking vehicle, and they were walking through there, and they were walking across the clearing, and they stopped, you know, there and was whispering and telling what time they would come back out, and all of a sudden, a 12-point buck just stepped out of the woods. And so they all three threw up their guns and shot, and all three of them hit the deer. All three of them hit it, and it killed it. And they went over there, and the pastor said, my, this is going to look good on my office wall. And one of the deacons said, wait a minute now, pastor. There's three shots, and three of us hit that deer. And we just need to determine whose was the kill shot. And said, then we can see who gets the deer. He said, I'd like to have that mounted and put in my den. And the other deacon said, yeah, well, y'all hold on. It could be my shot. And they were standing there, and the game warden walked up. And the game warden says, fellas, can I help you? And they said, well, they told him the story, and we all three shot, and one of us, the deer belongs to one of us, and we don't know who it is. And he said, let me look. He looked down, and he said, I think I can help you. He said, would one of you happen to be a pastor? And he said, yes, I'm a pastor, and these two men are deacons. And he said, well, pastor, he said, this is definitely your deer. He said, and one of the deacons spoke up and said, wait a minute. You cannot look down at the deer and tell who shot killed the deer. You just can't do that. And the game warden said, I can. He said, I can tell. Said, the pastor shot this deer and it killed the deer. He said, the shot that killed the deer went in one ear and came out the other. And so very intelligent crowd, all right. And so now in the book of Isaiah, we're going to look at tonight how to be revived, or what happens when we see what Isaiah saw. Let's stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Father, we ask you, Lord God, please meet with us tonight. We ask you to please do not pass us by, but meet with us and work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's lost, we ask you to save them. And Lord, we ask you for all of our hearts here tonight that you'll encourage us and strengthen us and have us at that place of service, Lord, where you can use us. Lord, we ask you to stir our hearts and move us to action. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You can be seated if you would. And tonight, I want you to think about, just look at a few things quickly tonight. What happens when we see what Isaiah saw? Isaiah saw some things that affected him. Isaiah saw some things that moved him to the place to where he could say, whenever God said he needed someone to go, and he said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah stood up and said, "Here am I, send me." Now, there's some things that happened in Isaiah's life in order for him to be at that place where he could do that. And so whenever we see that, I hope that it will move us and it will help us to when we see the same things that Isaiah saw. Now, I look back at my life, and I know that I wasted several years of my life. I know that. I wasted some years of my life, and since I could have been serving the Lord, doing more for him, but that's gone. That's behind me. And now I want to make sure that I give everything that I have to the Lord. Several years ago, I was pastoring in Georgia, and my wife and I would go to the church, and we'd pray. We'd bow at the altar, and we'd pray earlier. And after church, when everybody was gone, we'd lock the building, we'd go back in the inn and pray. And we prayed, and we asked the Lord to use us in these last years that we have left than all the other years put together in our ministry. We prayed that, and next thing you know, we were in Japan. And God used us in a great way. And so we're excited about what God can do. And I just want to know God's will, and I want to do God's will. And God's will is not complicated. God's will is not hard to find. His path is plain and clear. We make it complicated. We confuse things and make it complicated. But God's will is plain and clear. And God lays it out for us. And I'll not have time to get into that tonight, but it's interesting how the steps that God takes in his will. But there are some things that, for instance, I know that I ought to be a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I know that. I ought to be a member of a church that gives to Faith Promise Missions, supports missionaries, has a heart for missions. I know that. I know that I ought to be a part of a soul-winning church. I know that this is true here because I heard this morning about people that led people to the Lord yesterday. And that's what it's all about. I would want to be a part of a soul-winning church. I'd want to be a part of a church that preaches the gospel and gives an invitation so that people can respond to that. And I know that I should tithe. I don't have any doubt about that. I know that I should tithe. I know that I should give to Faith Promise Missions. I know that I should witness, and I know that I should study my Bible. I know that I should memorize Scripture. And I know that I should pray and trust God and believe the promises of God. And I know that I ought to praise God, and I know that I ought to have a heart full of gratitude for God. I know all that. So if I do what I know I ought to do, then God's going to show me what else he wants me to do. God does not want to hinder us, and God does not want to hurt us in any way. And if you and I know what we should do, and we do what we know we should do, then God is going to order our steps day by day, and we'll know God's will in our lives. Isaiah saw some things. He saw some things that revived him. He saw some things that stirred his heart and moved him. Actually, not just stirred him only, but moved him to do something for God. And I love being revived. I love for God to stir my heart and warm my soul. Now, the first thing that Isaiah saw here, if we see this tonight, if you can see this with your heart's eyes, it'll also stir us and move us and revive us. But first thing that Isaiah saw, he saw the results of sin. Now, look in chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. Now, wait a minute. He says he saw the Lord, but what about before that? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now, first of all, he saw the results of sin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it tells us that in verse 5, that King Uzziah, it tells him, he reigned for 52 years, did a lot of things. He was a great farmer. They had raised a lot of crops and everything. He had a mighty military that was well-armed. He did all kinds of things in those 52 years. But it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 in verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And then it says in verse 16, But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And I hope you're familiar with the story. He was disgraced. He was smitten with leprosy. He went in to try to deal with the where the priests were, and they rebuked him and tried to get him out of there, and he would not listen. And God smote him with leprosy. He was a great man. A great man that ruled for 52 years. That did a lot of wonderful, great things. And all of a sudden, he's in shame and disgrace, and he has to flee out of there. He has to flee and go out of there. And with that leprosy, he spends the rest of his life in isolation. He spends it in maybe like a hospital or something, but in isolation, he spends the rest of his life. And so here's a man that Isaiah said, he mentions here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. So he saw the results of sin. And you and I, if we look at that, we can see the damage of sin, the disgrace of sin, the destruction of sin. Sin is an awful thing. Isaiah saw what sin can do to a person. And today, people take that lightly. I was visiting a church here a few months ago, and they had an evangelist who was there, and after he was over, he came to me and he spoke to me, and he said, you know, he said, our young people today said they know they're sinners. They don't need to be told that, and they don't want to hear that. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't say anything to him. I wanted to, but it wasn't my place to. I wasn't the pastor. And so I said, wait a minute now. They do need to hear about sin. They need to hear about sin. We need to understand about sin. And sin is a horrible thing. And sin can disgrace people and shame people and tear people down. I could give you story after story about that. But let me tell you this. There was this touches my heart. But I was assistant pastor when I was in Bible school. I was assistant pastor for Dr. Bruce Lackey. He was dean of the Bible school. And there I went to Tennessee Temple years and years ago, back in the 70s. And so I was in charge of the bus ministry and children's church and those kind of things. And we had a lady. We visited her house, and she asked her about her little girl riding our bus to church. And she said, that'd be great. She said, I'll come with her a few Sundays and see what y'all are doing and get her used to it. And she rode the bus, and she came into children's church. And about her second or third Sunday there, the mother got saved. And in children's church. And so the pastor came to me and he said, I want you to take me on Thursday night to the home and let's see if we can get the dad saved and we'll have a Christian home there. So we went to visit and knocked on the door and we went in and the man was drinking. It's Thursday night and he was already drinking. We found out later that he'd start drinking Thursday night, be drunk on Friday night and stay drunk Saturday and Sunday start sobering up and go to work on Monday. And so he was sitting there, and Dr. Lackey, the little girl, they had a beautiful little redheaded girl, and the little girl wanted all the attention, so I took her there in the kitchen and got her to get some toys, and we went in there, and we played jacks, bounced the ball, the jacks, you know, and we were playing that, and I could hear Dr. Lackey. I could hear him talking to him. The man says, listen, I'm a good guy. He said, I know I drink, but he said, I don't bother anybody. I don't care if my wife has religion, that's all right with me, and all that stuff, you know, and that's what he was saying. But the true story is when we got ready to leave, Dr. Lackey asked me if I was ready to go, I stood up, and that little girl walked up to me, and she put both arms around one of my legs just like that, and she looked up at me, and she said, Mister, said, spend the night with me tonight. And I said, I can't, honey. I said, I've got a little boy like you at home and a big boy at home and got a mommy at home, and I said, I can't do it. And she squeezed my leg and said, Mister, said, if you spend the night with me tonight, when you daddy get drunk, I'll spend the night with you. Now, that was a horrible, horrible situation. We found out later it was a terrible situation. The man, as far as I know, never got saved. When I left, after I graduated Bible school, he had already moved somewhere else, and as far as we know, he never got saved. But here's the thing about it. Sin is an awful, awful thing. And even if people try to make it pretty, it's still a horrible thing. And so we need to see the results of sin. How many Christians have had to run off in shame? How many Christians have had to hide their face in shame? You see, sin robs us and destroys us. And so Isaiah saw the results of sin. And then he saw something else. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, this is the Old Testament. Yes, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him in the Old Testament. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now, after he saw the destruction of sin and deception of sin and all of that, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him lifted up. He saw him where he belongs, high and lifted up. And my, that affected him. That stirred his heart and moved his heart. And he saw Jesus. And we have to see Jesus, folks. We have to see him in the Word of God. And we have to see him in our prayer life. And we have to see him in the Scriptures, as we said. And whenever our outlook is bleak, we need to just look into the Scripture and look up. And we need to get a glimpse of Jesus and see what Jesus can do for us. And we see that he saw Jesus as King. He saw him as Lord. He saw him in his glory. He saw Jesus high and lifted up in his train filling the temple. We must see God in our hearts for who he is and for what he's doing and where he's headed. We have to see him. We have to see him and love him and honor him and worship him. Isaiah saw the big, powerful, wonderful God. He saw a great God, a mighty God, a God with whom nothing is impossible. Now, you and I cannot limit the size of God. Let me say this again. You and I cannot limit the size of God. We cannot make God any smaller than he is. You know, we can't do that. But we can limit him in our hearts and in our lives. You and I, you can have, brother here can have a big God and I can have a small God. By the way that I see it, I can limit it myself. A church is limited to the size of God that they want to have. Your home is limited to the size of God that you want to have. And you and I need a big God. We need a good look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see him for who he is. We need to see him in all of his power and all of his glory and all of his honor. We need to see him. You need a big God, and I need a big God. In this day and time, we need a bigger God. And so, again, I want to say, we cannot make God any smaller, but we can make him bigger in our lives. We can do that. We see him. It's how we see the Lord. We can see him in prayer, and we can see him in the Scriptures, and we can see him high and lifted up. We can see a wonderful, powerful God. The Lord God of heaven will do in our hearts what we will allow him to do. He'll do that. Whenever I was young, I got saved when I was about 12 years old. And I'd been to Sunday school most all my life. And I heard all the teachings and I heard the things. And so when I got saved, I began to realize how wonderful God is. I remember one day my dad worked in the cotton mills, and he'd come home. We worked in the fields in the afternoon, but he'd come home, work in the cotton mills during the day up to about, I guess it's 1 or 2 o'clock, something like that, and then he'd come home, and he forgot his lunch one day, so he had the mill office, cotton mill office, call one of our neighbors, and one of our neighbors sent their son down to our house. We didn't have a phone. And sent him down there and wanted me to bring his lunch to the mill. It was a good ways, but I put my shoes on. We didn't wear shoes except when we were working with the hose and stuff like that and going to school or church, you know. But I put my shoes on, and I had holes in my shoes, and so I started walking and my feet were hurting and I stopped behind a store and got these waxed boxes, and I took my pocket knife and cut inserts from his shoes. But I remembered, we just had a Sunday school lesson about God and God answering prayer and so forth, and I said, Lord, I need shoes. I prayed while I was walking to the mill with my dad's lunch. I prayed and I said, God, I need shoes. Just a young fella, and I said, I kept asking him, Lord, I need shoes, and just kept praying about it. And I got to the mill, and the guard opened the gate, and I handed him my dad's lunch, and he handed it to my dad, and he locked the gate. And I walked off, my dad walked off, he turned around, I heard him call him, and I went back to the gate, and he said, Steve, said, do you need any shoes? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, lift up your shoe, and I lifted up, and he looked at it. He gave me a $20 bill, and he said, I want you to go to town, walk on to town, get your shoes, save my change for me, but get your shoes. And you know, on the way home, you know what I did? I knew that it wasn't my dad. I knew that. My dad, now, I loved my dad, and later on he served the Lord for about 7.5 years, and later on he, He straightened up, but he drank and he gambled, and that was money that he could have used for that, and he would not have checked on my shoes unless my God spoke to his heart. That's the only way he could have done it. And I knew that. Anybody can say what they want to, but I knew that God heard me and answered prayer. That was just the beginning of it. My, how wonderful it's been to know that God hears and answers prayer. And God is a great God, a wonderful God. And then, not only that, you know, we see that he's a big God and a powerful God, but also we see that Isaiah saw himself. He saw himself. And when he saw himself, he saw the results of sin. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he saw himself. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. Now, not only Isaiah says that, but Job said it also, that he saw the Lord. Whenever Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord and saw him for who he really is, boy, it humbled him. It stirred his heart. And Job said also, what Job said. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee, and I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. You know what happens? We may get prideful. We may get lifted up. God may bless us, and we may accomplish some things and get prideful. But if you and I will spend time in this book and spend time in prayer with our Lord, we'll see him, and it will humble us. It'll change us. It did Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord, and it humbled him. And he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And then Job, when he saw the Lord, he said, I abhor myself and repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now, when we see the Lord Jesus for who he really is, then we get a good look at ourselves. Now, tonight, what I want to do is I want us to get a good look at ourselves. You know, just in this brief time, just get a good look at ourselves. Compare ourselves with Jesus. And not only, you know, I used to, when I first started preaching, I tried to point out everybody and get them to see themselves. But it took me a little while to learn that I just need to get them to see Jesus, and then they can see themselves. And so tonight, what we want to do is we want to be able to see Jesus tonight. We want to see him for who he is. And you know, Steve Nutt has seen the Lord also. I've seen him in this book. I've seen him in my heart, in my life. I've got a good look at myself after looking at the Lord. And I have to do that pretty regularly. I know what I am. I'm nothing, and I know that. I depend totally, absolutely, totally on the Lord. I live by faith, and we serve him and do totally, just live totally by the Lord. But I've had a good look at him, and then I've had a good look at myself. And I realize that my biggest enemy is self and the flesh and Satan. And our problem is how we see ourselves. Years ago, whenever I was, I used to be a meat market manager, a meat cutter, and then a meat market manager, and ran a meat market for a chain store. And before I went full-time in the ministry, and after I went full-time in the ministry, later on I went to Bible school after that, but the first church I went to, I was a bus director there and in charge of visitation, children's church, and things like that. Before I went full-time to ministry, I was a meat market manager, a meat cutter, and I was a member of a church, and we went to that church. We went on a Wednesday night, and the pastor talked with us, and we said we were going to join on Sunday, that we were in a Baptist church, but it was not what this one was. It was not like this church. It was not the right kind of church, and so we said we were going to join that church. And so the pastor said, I want to talk to you in my office. And I didn't know what in the world he wanted. I was wondering if he was going to tell me not to come or something, you know, but I didn't know what he wanted. And we went in there, and he said, now, you're positive you're going to join on Sunday. I said, yes, sir. He said, I was just wondering. He said, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight about it and said, tonight we had a bus captain resign his bus route, and we don't even want to miss a Sunday. And he said, would you go with him this Saturday and run his bus route and drive the bus and then take that bus route? And said, you can join the church Sunday morning, run the bus route Sunday morning, then join the church. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I'll do that. And the Lord had been working on my heart about it anyway. So I went back, and and so on. I went to the bus meeting on Saturday and visited bus route with this bus captain, and then took over the bus on Sunday morning. He didn't even go away, just gave me the route book and showed me the route on Saturday, and so did that, and so you know I was excited about it. I had a bus, and I could pick up children and bring them to church, and some of them would get saved. Some of the parents would get saved. And, man, this was exciting. And the church furnished the bus, and the church bought the gas, paid the insurance. I mean, this is exciting. And so we had 3 acres there of property with a house, and it's full of trees except way at the back. It had a garden at the back acre of it. But I didn't have anywhere to park my bus. So I borrowed a chainsaw and just cut some trees down and cut them up and hauled them out of there and pulled my bus in there. And boy, I washed that bus and gassed it up on Saturday, and after I visited the route, and then sweep it out on Saturday night, and then I'd pray in the bus. So one Saturday night, I was praying. I'd get in the driver's seat and pray for safety. I'd get back on the next seat, and I'd pray for the kids that would ride. I had my route book and go through and pray for the kids and ask God to fill each seat, fill each seat, fill each seat, and pray over that. And did that for weeks and weeks. And one Saturday night, I was on the back row. I'd prayed all the way back to the back of the bus, and I was sitting there praying. I finished praying, and all of a sudden, just the presence of the Lord just moved on that bus. Oh, man, it was so I had not had that. I'd not experienced that. I experienced just a little bit of it, but I'd not experienced just that presence of the Lord coming on the bus with me. God worked in my heart, and God worked in my life that night. And you know what? I was boasting a little bit before that night. We had the bus things up on the board, you know, and they moved the name to the top of the one that had the most riders, and most of the time mine was on the top. I got a little bit proud of that, and you know, the Lord just moved on the bus, and when I got a good look at the Lord, I saw what a horrible, rotten, stinking sinner I am. You know, I don't deserve to be here tonight. I don't deserve to be preaching to you tonight. I don't deserve it. I don't. But I'll tell you what, the one that I preach about is so wonderful and so great. I want to serve him, and I want to lift him up, and I want to honor him. I'm nothing. But whenever I saw him that night in my heart, in my life, I'll never forget how God worked in my heart. And that was just the start of it. Just like those shoes were the start of God answering prayer. And there has to be a starting place where we believe God and trust God, a starting place where we start seeing the Lord in our hearts and in our lives, and where we see prayers answered. And that was the start for me. And that just started there in Georgia, just a backwoods little country person. And God just started that then. And then God's worked, and he's taken us all over the place and worked and let us just serve him. And you and I be cured of pride when we see the Lord for who he is, and then we see ourselves. You can't be lifted up with pride. You just can't be lifted up with pride if you spend time with him. In military missions, we see a lot of people saved, see a lot of lives changed. But I realize that no Christian will ever do much for God until they see themselves. You know, we have to see ourselves. And the way that we see ourselves is we see the Lord. We see the Lord. And then also, he not only saw the Lord, but he saw the need. He saw the need. Isaiah saw the need. The Lord said, I need someone to go. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Are you ready for God to use you? Are you ready for the Lord to use you any way that he sees fit, in any way that he pleases? Isaiah was ready. And he said, here am I, send me. And then he also saw the long-range results. If you were to read the rest I knocked off there in verse 8, I think it was, where he said, here am I, send me. If you were to read the rest of that, you'd see that some people would actually become more blind. Some people would be more deaf. Some would be more hard-hearted. And the more that they were, the more that they would resist God. Many more would resist God's truth, and then they would be able. The more they did that, the less able they'd be to understand God's word. And God said that the land would be ruined and the people would be taken off to exile. He said, but a remnant would survive, and true faith would survive. And Isaiah saw that. He saw that people would be hard-hearted. He saw that, all of that, but he still said, Lord, hear my Lord, send me. He still went. Isaiah still went. And you see, because he believed God, God's the one that can work that out. Let me close up tonight, but I want to tell you, share with you an experience that since I'm in military missions, I just can't hardly stand it not to promote it, you know, and let you know what God can do in military missions. I pastored Maranatha Baptist Church in Okinawa, Japan, and we had a revival meeting, and every 2 years we'd have Dr. Tom Farrell come and preach our revival meeting there in Japan. And the first year he came, first year I had him come, the Lord spoke to my heart about this thing and about really praying about it. So we set up a month ahead of time. We made a calendar, and I asked people to sign up and fast and pray at least one day that month. And, you know, if it filled up, you'd have two or three doing it. And so for a month ahead of time, we had a calendar where people, every day, there were people that were fasting and praying from our church for that revival meeting. And then on Saturday morning before it started, we had a calendar fixed every 15 minutes around the clock from 6 a.m. Saturday morning to 6 a.m. Sunday morning, and had people sign up on that. And so around the clock that night, people were praying. And we just had folks praying. They'd come to the church, and they'd come in and pray. And we were praying for that meeting. And then we had the meeting time came, and that Sunday morning, we had a lot of people saved. And one Marine had a lot of them saved, a lot of military saved, a lot of people saved, good number. But one Marine came to me after church that got saved. And he said, my dad's a pastor. And he said, I heard, you know, I grew up hearing all this, and I know what to say and knew what to say. He said, but I never got saved. I got saved this morning. He said, I could convince anybody I was saved because I grew up in a pastor's home. And he said, but I got saved this morning. And he said, can I be baptized tonight? I said, you sure can. And he said, we had live stream video. And he said, I'm going to call my parents and get them to watch it and get our family to watch it. And he said, can I do that? And I said, you sure can. And he brought a good number of Marines back with him that night to watch him baptized. And most of them got saved. Monday night, he brought some more. And to make it as quick as I can, that week from Sunday night to Friday night, he brought 38 Marines with him, and 33 of them got saved. Now, that week on Friday night, we had had 92 people saved in 1 week. 92 people. That's amazing, and because of all that prayer that was done, 92 people were saved. And people were watching, you know, we had a live stream video, and you could imagine if you had a son and daughter over there and your grandkids were over there, and it's, you know, the time difference is you could watch it without any problem. So you'd be watching your grandkids and you'd be watching your children, because we would have them pan the audience for that purpose. And then we had the kids in the clubs that came forward on Wednesday nights and got their rewards. And so the people were watching. And so I started getting emails from the people that was telling their pastors that we had 93 people saved, or 92 people saved in a week's revival there. And so I started getting emails, and several pastors emailed me and said, Brother Nutt said, how did you have 92, 93 people saved in 1 week's time? How'd you do that? And I got to thinking about that. Boy, I said, Lord, I need to answer this thing right. I really need to do it right. So I told them about our prayer time, you know, fasting and praying and all of that. And then I said, it's kind of like this. I said, if you want to have 93 people saved in a week, you've got to have at least 93 lost people in the services. And then God has to show up and do the saving. And that's all I know to tell you. God does the saving. You know, if there's anybody saved in a service that you have, what a great God we have. God's God. But if there's nobody saved, he's still God. If nobody here trusts him, he's still God. If nobody steps out by faith, he's still God. We serve a great and wonderful and mighty God. And there's no limit on what we can do if you and I will surrender to the Lord and let the Lord have his way in our hearts, in our life. What would it be like if we had someone here tonight that would just totally surrender to the Lord and turn their hearts and lives over to the Lord and just see what God could do with a person. First thing, Satan would attack them. They'd have to deal with pride and they'd have to deal with sin. And it'd be all kind of things. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some folks that would just show the world what God can do through us? I'm going to ask you, if you would, let's stand our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And tonight, I'm going to turn the invitation over in just a moment to the assistant pastor, but I want to ask you tonight, if you would, be serious about this thing. The altar's open tonight. If God spoke to your heart, ask yourself, how long has it been since I went forward and knelt and prayed? How long has it been since I've poured my heart